Love it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Please welcome
live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Nick Nurse was introduced.
Do you want James Harden back?
James Harden's a great player.
That didn't answer the question.
Like Tom Cruise, like, did you order the code red?
Did you order?
Like, oh my God.
You can't handle
the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Kirk Morrison. Earlier on the show, veteran NBA reporter Howard Beck, NHL analyst Pierre McGuire. Still to come, SiriusXM MLB Network radio analyst Scott Miller. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
Yeah, hour number three here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. So much to still get to as we talked a lot of the championships that are going on, the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final. Got to get into a little hockey talk. I mean, a lot of hockey talk, but my golf talk. I always have a little golf time here on the Rich Eisen Show. Got to do it because I am a big hockey. I mean, a big golf fan.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Yeah, let's do that hockey for real.
Kidding. We did it.
But because there was so much going on over the last week for me in terms of end of school years and, you know, graduations and NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, there was like an iconic series sort of going on, like a dream series that you were like, I can't believe this is really happening. And for some reason, Los Angeles has had this up and down weather, right? The May, was it May, June gloom, but it's May what?
Gray May, June gloom.
May gray, June gloom, whatever you want to call it. We've been having that going on here in Los Angeles.
January.
Right. Anyway. But I'll say this. For some reason, the baseball gods must have been shining on Los Angeles because it gave Los Angeles three beautiful days of sunshine, but it gave the environment of the iconic Dodger Stadium what it needed to put on an outstanding series between two iconic franchises, the New York Yankees versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, the Yankees win two out of three in those games, but it gave us sort of a preview of what could be. And I thought it was something for people that if you're a real baseball fan, you were able to watch. But we had so much other sports going on that I almost wish that they could have put this series in a weekend that it wasn't crowded with other big-time sports. I mean, literally on Sunday, I had to like watch a little bit of the baseball game. Then I got to switch over to the NBA game because they were like right up against each other. And so it was difficult, but I was able to get it done. And Scotty Miller, the MLB Network radio analyst for SiriusXM, New York Times MLB contributor, you were all over it, Scotty. What did you love about this series between the Yankees and the Dodgers?
Well, it was just good, crisp baseball. I mean, you had, Friday night.
Yeah.
The Dodgers scored six runs in the first inning. They came right out of the gate swinging. They just jumped on Luis Severino, who has missed most of this year. He's a key starter for the Yankees, but he's been injured, and he was only making like his third start. And the Dodgers just crushed him. And, you know, they did what they do. They lead the National League in home runs. They're a power-laden offense. But, you know, the next 2 days, you know, Garrett Cole stood up and showed why he's one of the most dominant pitchers in the game by pitching Saturday the Yankees to a win. You know, you had pitching. You had stars like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton hitting home runs. You had stars like Garrett Cole pitching well. You had young pitchers. Bobby Miller of the Dodgers, that's going to be their next great pitcher. It was outstanding last night. The Yankees had to come back late and win. But, you know, Bobby Miller through six innings was just, you know, lights out. Fastball, 99 miles an hour, slider up there, curveball down to 89, working the, you know, blowing balls by people. And, you know, it was classic Dodgers Yankees. Is a throwback series. They've met 11 times in the World Series, not since 1981, however. But it kind of gave you a glimpse that, maybe in the near future there could be another Yankees-Dodgers World Series.
You know, but Scotty, I feel like this was such a success this weekend. Had it even been more of a standalone weekend where there weren't so many other sports going on, especially championships or sports in their championship series, that this could have been an even bigger game, bigger matchup. We always know about the Red Sox and the Yankees when they go up against each other, the epic series that that always is. But we don't get a chance to see Dodgers-Yankees. And this seemed like Major League Baseball has to figure something out, Scotty, where we can get this matchup at least once a year because it was so fun to watch. And 53,000 Dodger fans or fans in attendance for what was a regular season matchup, but it felt like a playoff-type atmosphere.
Well, yeah, it did. And two things. One, they haven't played since, I think, 2017 or 18 was the last time. But the schedule has changed. And this year, there's a new schedule where division teams are not going to play teams within their division quite so much, and they will play everybody else at least once. So you will see Dodgers-Yankees next year in Yankee Stadium. They don't have home and home series because they're American and National League, but there will be one series alternating years. This year, Dodgers Stadium. Next year, Yankee Stadium. Year after that, back in L.A. Because, as I say, they've changed the schedule this year in baseball going forward, and they've gone away from the unbalanced schedule, which the past few years, if teams played division rivals 19 times a year, that's down now to 13 or 14, so they can squeeze in series against every other team in the game. So that part of it will change, and we can look forward to Dodgers-Yankees next year in the Bronx.
Yeah, there we go. SiriusXM Major League Baseball Network radio analyst Scott Miller joining the program here. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. I would also say, too, is that Mookie Betts was letting everybody know he's still one of the best players in the league. You mentioned Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge as well. I thought the stars stood out to a point where, okay, this is Major League Baseball. This is what the two iconic franchises have. But I thought Mookie Betts stood tall, a couple of home runs. But Giancarlo Stanton returning to Los Angeles, he had also a big weekend.
Yeah, he did. And you're right, the stars. Yeah, I mentioned the stars, you know, like Stanton, Judge, and Cole. But you're right. I mean, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman on the other side. This is a place, it's loaded with stars. And, yeah, Mookie Betts, Friday night, his game was unbelievable. I mean, you know, leadoff home run, hit another home run later, had four hits. You know, Mookie Betts really stood. And then, oh, by the way, Saturday he started at second base instead of right field. So, yeah, Mookie Betts is, you know, it was a high-octane series. There's no doubt about it, with all kinds of stars, and it was very – very cool. Mookie Betts' game on Friday night was sensational.
Scott, I know you probably may not have a lot of information on this, but I'm a San Diego State grad, and you know when I hear nerve damage, man, to my guy, and I'm talking about Steven Strasburg, and now people are saying possibly can threaten his career. Like, to this point of what now happens to a pitcher who has had multiple surgeries and now possible the nerve ending, could this possibly end his career, or is it even too much of a risk of putting back out there?
Yeah, I have significant question as to whether he'll ever pitch again.
Wow.
He had his highlight obviously was 2019 and he was the MVP of the World Series. He stood up that month of October, as the Nationals needed him to. And I think, you know, there are certainly more disappointing careers. I mean, you know, you stand up and be a man like Strasburg was in the month of October, leading the Nationals to their first World Series title, the District of Columbia's first World Series title since the 1920s.
Right.
He'll always have that. But that said, aside from 2019, he's been fragile. He's had so many injuries. And now with this, you know, it does not sound good out of D.C. I mean, everything Davey Martinez, their manager, and others with the Nationals are saying, I think I'll be surprised if we ever see Steven Strasburg again. And, you know, it's too bad because, boy, especially when he came on as that number one draft pick from San Diego State.
Yeah.
You know, back in 2010 or 11 or 12 or whatever year it was, He was so exciting, and I still remember that first start of his against the Pittsburgh Pirates where, you know, he struck out, you know, 12 or 13, and it was like the big coming out. And it just, it's another reminder that, you know, we have to, back to the stars, we were just talking about Yankees-Dodgers, you know, with Strasburg. I mean, that's a reminder. We have to enjoy our stars because I think it's easy to take them for granted. You know, you see a guy like LeBron James playing forever and dominating forever, but those are the outliers, not the more human stories are, you know, the stars' careers are short-lived.
Yeah.
You know, some go longer than others, but either way, you know, you don't take any of it for granted, and the guys you enjoy who are to that level, you make sure to enjoy them while we have them.
Yeah, absolutely. Scotty Miller joined us here at SiriusXM, Major League Baseball Network and radio analyst. You know, Aaron Judge is probably maybe a trip to the IL. He has a toe injury that he had making an outstanding catch in the series against the Dodgers. He may be out, but the one thing that stood out to me, Scott, is that I looked at, and look, when you watch games, they have the team's records up there on, you know, right underneath the team name. And you say, oh, Yankees 35-20. And they're like third, fourth in the AL East. And I look at the Dodgers who have a same record and yet they're first in their division. And I'm saying, how good is this AL East where everybody, like, it's one of those, like we talk about the in the NFC East last year or the NFC West a couple years ago in football, where there's so many good teams within your own division that somebody is going to be on the outside looking in. How good is this AL East right now shaping up?
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I'll tell you what, I saw the Toronto Blue Jays. I was with them early April. And, you know, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is slugging the ball and Matt Chapman slugging the ball. And they've got a lot. They're a very good team, Bo Bichette. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got some pitching. And I thought, man, this might be Toronto's year. That was early April. They're just another team in the American League East. I mean, it's right. Incredible. You know, two of the five teams are winning more than 60% of their games. Of course, the Tampa Bay Rays have the best record in the major leagues, and you can see why. They've got what seems to be an endless supply of pitching. You know, Shane McClanahan, Tyler Glasnow just came back. They have more. They lead the majors in homers. They lead the majors in stolen bases. So, in other words, they hit for power. Their offense is prolific. They can run. They can pitch. Baltimore Orioles are also over 600.
Yeah.
And then you go to the so-called other guys in the division. The American League East is the only one of the six divisions in which all five teams are over 500. Even the last place team, the Boston Red Sox, are a game over 500. So, yeah, it's going to be a sprint all the way through the summer for these. I mean, you would think if you're Tampa Bay and having gotten off to the start they got off to and winning at the clip they're winning at, you would think that they might be able to have a little bit of cruise control at some point this summer, but it doesn't look like it. I mean, it's, you know, and you're right. I mean, I think we could see all three wild card teams come out of the American League East. I mean, probably not, because Texas and Houston and the West are battling pretty good and posting good records. But, I mean, realistically, you could have all three. You know, you could have the division winner plus three wild cards. You could have four of the five teams make the playoffs in the AL East. It's probably not – probably three of the five will make it, but it could even be four, which would be just, you know, that's how good it is.
Scott, I'll leave you with one last question. This is more of just for me as a National League West fan growing up, as always. But what's more surprising to you, that the Diamondbacks are in first place or that the Padres are in fourth place?
That's a really good question, because both are really surprising, and obviously they relate to each other. I'd say the Padres. You have to go with the Padres because I always say you got to follow the money, like the Watergate days.
Right.
And I mean, for the Padres to have the third highest payroll in baseball, only the two New York teams are outspending the Padres this year. So from that perspective, the talent they've amassed, you would expect the Padres, you know, money doesn't always win.
Yep.
The money they're spending, you would think they'd at least be in second place, maybe third. But to be down in fourth is just that right now is one of the stories of the game, the Padres underachieving. One of the biggest stories of the summer, the Padres underachieving. That said, Arizona in first is pretty good, too, because the Dodgers have had a good year. It's not like the Dodgers are stepping way back. They won 111 games last year, and they're not too far off of that pace this year. But, you know, Diamondbacks are doing so much right. I mean, Zach Gallen is the real deal on the mound. You know, beyond him, you know, the rookie Corbin Carroll and other rookies, but especially him running the bases and doing what he's doing. That's a young, exciting team in Arizona. And we're deep enough in the season that I don't know if they're going to keep it up. I'm not going to sit here today and say they're going to win the division, but they're going to be they've shown over long enough time that they're not just going to go away.
I'll tell you this, it's great to have money, but money can't buy you championships. That's what I'm seeing in San Diego right now. Hey, Scott, appreciate the time, my man.
You too, Kirk. Take care.
All right, that's Scott Miller, SiriusXM MLB Network Radio Analyst, also a New York Times MLB contributor. That's a lot there. I mean, I try to get my baseball fix, but this past weekend was pretty cool watching Yankees, Dodgers, Chavez Ravine, Dodger Stadium. It was fun. I wish we could get more of those matchups. I'm glad that MLB is realizing that, you know, we need some of these matchups. I want to see some Red Sox, Dodgers, or, you know, even throw some Yankees and Braves. All that stuff is going to be good.
It was cool just for the moments.
Yeah.
It produced. Correct. You know, the Dodgers had such an awesome game on Friday that night. Massive first and second innings. And then on Saturday, you guys understand Aaron Judge literally ran through the wall?
Ran through the wall.
That was incredible.
And
first
hurt
off,
himself.
it was an amazing catch, and it was at a crucial moment in the game. The Dodgers could have mounted a comeback there had that ball fell in. Judge, who's 6'7", 280. He's bigger than Gronk. Think about that for a second. Chases down this fly ball. Arm extended, makes the catch, crashes into the bullpen wall, and the thing just explodes on itself.
Crazy.
Unreal. Crazy, crazy moment.
Yeah.
And then the game last night was awesome. It was just, like you said, Kirk, perfectly. It was a great weekend for Major League Baseball out here in Los Angeles. Plus the history of the two teams, you know, dating all the way back to the 70s. Like, it was really cool.
Like I said, I just wished it was a weekend where you would, you know, a little bit further in the summer. That would have been a premier weekend outside.
Yeah, there was a lot going on with the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final, and the golf yesterday was great. That was kind of going on in the middle of it, you know. But
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I had yesterday, a buddy of mine said, hey, what are you doing later? So this is about 2:30 on a Sunday. Hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm kind of, you know, I got the family. That game started at 4 local. Yeah. So I got an extra ticket to the Dodger game.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Thought about it, but it was first of all, getting to Dodger Stadium on Sunday. Like I said, it was record.
The first three innings.
Yeah, I would have missed the first three innings, a record crowd. And then knowing I want to come in and be on my A game talking about the NBA Finals as well. I had to miss out, and so I have to wait a whole year if I want to see, well, not necessarily. It could happen in the World Series. Who knows? But that matchup was pretty cool to see, and I could have been there, but you know what? I'll keep it on my bucket list because they'll be back here in Los Angeles in a couple years. But one of the things
Kurt?
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Well, I mean, not a couple years. I mean, next year they'll be in New York, then they'll be back here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. Not that bad. Yeah.
Just saying.
I mean, look, there'll
be
a
chance to go this weekend. All right. So I'm good.
Oh, says the guy whose Dallas Cowboys play 10 minutes from his house. And
yeah,
sits
but
at home.
I'm also not saying in a couple years I'll wait for them to come back either. I'm just saying they were here.
You like watching them lose in the conference championships and divisional rounds.
Here you go.
Which reminds me, TJ.
Yeah.
We were talking about documentaries.
That's right.
As a group. Documentaries that. Preface it just a little bit because I have some documentaries that I feel like need to be made.
Yeah, well, last week me and Brockman were talking, and you know, HBO was doing this?
HBO.
Yeah. Doing the documentary on Barry Bonds.
It's coming out.
And I'm actually, right now, I'm in the middle of reading the Barry Bonds book by Jeff Perlman, which has been very eye-opening even after all these years. So, you know, Brockman had this idea we were talking about, like, what kind of documentaries would you want to see? Like, what sports stories? So that was just kind of like something that we were floating around.
I have a list of five right here, and I will share my five, and I want to hear some of yours coming up next year.
I put a few together myself.
Yeah, coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show, Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
You are the commissioner of baseball. I make you commissioner of baseball right here, right now, to start off. What do you do?
Nothing that anyone would like.
But why would you say that?
Because they're not going to like my ideas. Instant replay's over.
Why?
Who cares?
Because if you see it at home, you need to use it, right?
Why do we have a balls and strike umpire? We don't need that. We can easily do that with GPS. Why is he there?
Well, okay.
Why is he there? Why don't get rid of him then?
That might actually happen.
And then what do you have?
A robot, I guess? Or
yeah. There's a value to charm, my friend. There is a value to it that we sometimes ignore.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
So replay's gone. Ouch.
Replay's gone. I do kind of like replay, but it bothers me.
See?
The designated hitter is gone.
So why? Well, I mean,
because that's not baseball. One of the great principles of baseball's democracy of talent and physique. This is what makes baseball very special.
Right.
Democracy of talent and physique. Everybody plays it.
Okay.
Everybody.
Right.
The little shortstop, the slugging left fielder.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's welcome.
Right.
It's democracy.
What do you think of just the intentional walk, like just you go to first now?
No, don't like that either.
Why?
It's fine. How much time are you saving?
About 10 seconds. I mean, it's 10 seconds we can all save.
It's like when someone texts you the letter K instead of OK. What are you doing with that time?
Or thanks.
You're going to add that up and so you can watch an 11-minute YouTube video of a skateboarder bouncing his nuts off a railing? Is that what we're doing? Someone's texting me TY instead of thank you. TY. I'd like to bounce your nuts off a railing.
The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, because I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, which is furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. So, talked about it just last segment, putting together the sports documentaries that you would want to see, with HBO having the documentary coming up about Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Well, quick side note. At my mom's house, there's a photo that was once at my house. And it was a photo, and everyone was like, oh, man, that's pretty cool. Like, who is that? Like, this, it was a picture of my mom and a gentleman, hat on, black leather coat. And it was like, is that your dad? I was like, no.
No.
But it's one of my mom's prized possessions was is her picture with Barry Bonds.
Oh, word?
After a Raiders game inside the little players' tunnel. Barry Bonds used to go to a lot of, you know, Oakland Raider games.
Really?
You know, when he was in the Bay Area. So this is 2005 when he's, you know, right around. He's Barry Bonds. He's still the home run king. He's still that guy. But, you know, my mom, one of her great pictures is of Barry Bonds. And so she used to put it at my house and said, keep this one here. So it was like, whatever. But sports documentaries that you would want to see, hopefully they make. I'm going to pass it to you, TJ, because I got a couple that I've been thinking about, mm-hmm. but I know you got a list.
Yeah, you know, and this was kind of, at first I thought it'd be interesting or easy to come up with this list, but then you realize, like, so many great stories, Chris, have already had 30 for 30.
Oh, I'll tell you what, that's the thing. The 30 for 30 on ESPN I don't know how many there's been now.
Right.
Probably been over 50.
Yes,
easily.
They just did an American Gladiators one, I think, that just came out.
Last week.
So there have already been so many great sports documentaries. And so trying to come up with some new ones, I understand, is difficult. But I'm really curious what you guys have come up with, because there are so many great sports stories
crazy
that are still untold.
Yeah.
So what do you got?
Well, like I said, I'm hoping that these don't have documentaries already. I'm sure if they do, someone will let us know. But right off the bat, like any kind of gate in football, Deflategate, Spygate, Bountygate, I want to see all of these gates, a documentary on every single one of these gates. Okay.
All of them.
Right. And then, you know, as a pro wrestling fan right now, the Bloodline, they are dominating WWE. And if you really look at WWE and their history, there is a Samoan dynasty that started with the High Chief Peter Maivia, who is The Rock's grandfather.
Yeah.
And
side note real quick.
Yeah.
My daughter, I had to let her know, she did not know that that Maui on Moana was The Rock. Changed her life. Because she was scared of Maui at first.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I said, you know that's The Rock? She's like, wait, The Rock? That's Maui. Oh, my God.
You know,
I love it.
No, his daughter.
Yeah, I was saying, there's a great viral video that his daughter didn't realize it either.
And she was like, is daddy? And she was like, no. Like, no, you're not.
So, sorry about that, but go ahead.
That's all good. So, yeah, this Samoan dynasty has, over the last 50 years, has just produced some of the most incredible wrestlers that have ever wrestled. So it would be interesting just to give them a proper look and see, you know, how that dynasty started in the tree branches. It's crazy leading up to today when you have Roman Reigns as the biggest star in wrestling. Also, guys, I don't know, we're a little too young to kind of remember this, but in 1973, the New York Yankees, two players had a wife/family swap.
No, they literally just switched families.
Fritz Peterson and Mike Kekich decided that they were going to essentially swap spouses. Yeah. And in addition to that, the families that came with said spouses. Like, I don't know if there's ever been a proper movie or documentary made, but I would love to see it.
That's really funny.
As an MMA fan, just what the Gracie family has done with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and how they literally changed the game of fighting, the mastery of martial arts.
I have trained with the Gracie brother before.
Have you?
I have trained.
There's so many, and we're going to talk about, much
humbling,
like the Samoan dynasty, like the branches and the tree limbs. So just to see the Gracie family kind of get their props and give a proper documentary. How does Dennis Rodman become friends with Kim Jong-un?
That's a good one.
In North Korea? Like, I want to see a documentary that follows the worm. How did this friendship start? Like, and what does Dennis Rodman do when he goes over there? I'm really fascinated. And then the 1994 Montreal Expos, guys, you know, that season got kind of stopped by a It got stopped by a strike. And the Expos, if you recall, were on fire.
Awesome,
I think they had won 70 games. And, you know, by the time the strike was over in 95, it just, you could tell that the magic was gone. They finished terribly, but man, they had a great young team. They had some great players, and they were on a roll. And I would just love to see. They were 74-40, as a matter of fact, after 114 games. So I'd just maybe like to see a Pedro Martinez was on the team, Larry Walker, Marquise Grissom, Will Cardero, Cliff Floyd, like Moises Alou, a young John Wetland. So you almost got to wonder, too, like, if that season, if they don't strike and the Expos win the World Series, does that change their future? Like, do we have a Washington team?
You know who the Expos' last draft pick was?
I do.
Tom Brady.
Yes. The last last player drafted by the Expos, yes. And then who else do we got here? So after the Expos, remember the 2021 Tokyo Olympics? Yeah, and the real word those. Was that they put cardboard beds in there to
discourage
sex amongst the very sexed up Olympic athletes. I just want to see something on the Olympic cardboard beds and how well this worked, because I got a feeling didn't work too well. Vontae Davis, remember Vontae Davis, how he just decided in mid-game at halftime that,
buddy,
you know what? I'm done. I'm out. You knew him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good I would love to kind of, I don't know. I can't recall ever seeing anything that like went into the backstory of this, but Vontae Davis just at halftime of a game going, you know what, fellas, I'm out. I'm done. Like, I'd love to see a documentary
after
that.
Breaking up a pass on third down right before the half.
I did not.
Is amazing.
So he came like off of
he broke up a pass on third down and then
he goes in the locker room.
And he goes in the locker room and they're like,
I'm done.
He said, I'm done, bro. He's like, what you mean you done? Like, you done? Nah, y'all can have it.
I mean, he retired during halftime. He just left his equipment in the locker room. He's done. That would be very interesting. And I know you guys, because of our pre-show talk, would love this. Just the rise of LIV Golf. It may be too early now.
Yeah. What about 15 years?
Let's get the cameras rolling. Yep. Let's, take our notes and start this because I don't know where this LIV Golf thing is going, but I'm interested to find out where it ends, if it ends. And then remember Brian Colangelo's burner account? We talk about athletes with burner accounts, but Brian Colangelo, as working for the Sixers, had a burner account, and he was the president of basketball operations, as a matter of fact, and had this burner account where he kind of talked about Sam Hinkle and the players, and it kind of... We don't really remember it right now, but at the time, that was a big story, his burner account. So I'd just like to kind of be refreshed on what exactly went down and how that may have added to the demise of the process. And those are just 10 documentaries that I came up with that I'd love to see. And there's so many more that, your mind just kind of you get scrambled trying to think of all of them.
I got some here. I just wrote down some quick ones throughout the show because you brought this on me. I was like, man, there's some that I want to see get made. Number one, the bubble.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like the bubble. NBA bubble. Like that has to be a documentary. But I mean, when does that documentary really hold weight? I think the best, like The Last Dance, which was a documentary, was good because it gave us a lot of time in between.
Yeah.
Like documentaries, like 5 years after, it's still fresh on our minds.
That's why I'm saying the LIV thing. Like, you got to let that go.
Like, you
got to
let that
bit.
Breathe a little bit. So, is it 15? Is it 20? At some point, when we watch that documentary of the bubble, like, it's going to be like, wow, there really was a bubble.
Kids are going to be like, that life was like that?
Hold
on.
But, but see, kind of off of that one as well, the pandemic.
I had that as my 11th one.
Think about sports in the pandemic.
Yeah.
We had cardboard cutouts in the stands
that you could buy of yourself. Like, I'm a season ticket holder. Here is a big one. Here is my headshot. I will give you $1,000 to put my headshot in the stands.
But this is across all sports. So this is a sports documentary of all sports of how we tried to create fandom
during the pandemic.
Pandemic.
Because, Kirk, even like with wrestling on a Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, like you could go to a website and sign up and you could Zoom yourself. They put in the background of wrestling matches hundreds of Zoom pictures. So you could sit there and watch yourself on Zoom watching wrestling matches and you were the audience.
Yeah.
That was crazy, man. So, but the cardboard cutouts, Chris. Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
These are documentaries that I want to see.
Absolutely.
This is a documentary. I believe I saw that it's going to be released possibly in August, but I cannot wait to see it. It is the Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow, Florida Gators.
Oh, this is coming.
It's got to
come to Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah?
It's,
so they are doing this?
Oh, yeah.
I saw it coming out. And, I mean, they had a list of all the players that are involved. I mean, from Aaron Hernandez to Brandon Spikes to Percy Harvin to Joe Hayden, the Pouncey Twins.
It's called Swamp Kings.
Swamp King.
It's coming out August 23rd on Netflix.
Yeah, this is a must. This is a must watch.
I'm watching that one.
It's on the 06 to 09 Florida Gators. Those teams were stacked.
I mean, think about the NFL players, and I looked at the list –
It's crazy.
Of players, and I'm like,
just the Pouncey twins alone.
The Pouncey twins. I mean, it was just other players. I mean, just I can't wait.
And you know, last week we talked about Plus, like ESPN Plus. Chris, we're gonna get a Swamp Kings Plus that just kind of documents Urban's tenure with the Jaguars. So, like, you guys kind of add that in as bonus coverage.
Put that as like a 15-minute bonus at the end. So totally in
the bubble, the pandemic. I have the Florida Gators. I also had the early 2000 Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, there was a 30 for 30.
But there was a 30 for 30, but it linked.
But it was just called the U. It was just kind of all about Miami.
But I want to focus on the Miami that those years with like Ken Dorsey at quarterback, McGahee and Gore, Andre Johnson, Vilma,
Shockey.
Greg Olsen was like the bench right, like Kellen Winslow Jr.
You know, Frank Gore was like the fourth string running back.
It's
like,
funny you say that, Kirk, because I just saw something yesterday on Instagram, and I'm pretty sure it was about this team. Mm-hmm. And Chris, what it said was, if the offense
never scored a touchdown,
right, this team would still be 8-4.
Exactly.
Without an offensive touchdown.
They had 50.
Well, that's one I want to see. This one actually hurts me a little bit, but I do want to see it in the time because this will be separated alone from LeBron. Like, LeBron will have his own documentary, which we'll watch one day whenever it's time. But 73-9 is a documentary.
Oh.
73-9 is just the season of the Warriors. The greatest season ever, and the fallout of 73-9, if you think about it.
Yeah, what that led to.
Like, as a Warriors fan, 73-9 was probably the worst loss that you can have in an NBA Finals, being up 3-1 and losing. 3-1. But yet, the other side of it, what happened, how you broke up the team. Not the core, but you brought in Kevin Durant,
KD.
You won a couple. So to me, it's a documentary that has both sides, like a bad start or a bad beginning, but has a crazy ending to it. And then, so I got that one. Then this is where I get a little bit deeper, fellas. I start to go a little bit deeper. And this is something I shared with TJ. I don't know about you, Brockman, I'll do it anyway. It's fine. But the documentary on how I thought the Georgetown Hoyas under John Thompson, how I thought Georgetown was an HBCU. Had I never seen the University of Georgetown, I just watched Georgetown basketball. Mm-hmm. And I thought that this was like, because it was Allen Iverson, it was Patrick Ewing, and Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe. And like, you will look at Michael the roster Graham. And you're like, man, it's all brothers on that team. This must be the HBCU.
You know what my favorite part about
those
teams
You look up Georgetown University. It is at a most diverse university. Like, it is not what I thought it was.
Yeah. I just remember the 2 years that Iverson played. They had one white dude at the end of the bench who didn't even have his name on his jersey. He literally was there for the free Jordans. Yes. And he got in a game in blowouts for 1 minute. And I was like, this guy doesn't even have his name on his jersey.
Yes. So I don't know how that came about, but I was just thinking about, I think probably because I was thinking about Alonzo Mourning and the Miami Heat. But I like looked up Georgetown University, and it's like, you know, a very prestigious university. You look at the buildings and everything. Big and time. I'm like, this ain't what I thought it was. And then I was watching like Duke University, obviously, and you had like Grant Hill and obviously the Hurley and Leitner. And it's like, we saw a bit, but we still haven't seen that Duke documentary. We saw the Fab Five documentary.
Yeah.
But when does the Duke documentary
That's
come
also
out?
Very good.
And how hated they were. Like J.J.
There
Redick.
There was the Christian Leitner one where they kind of got Christian into Leitner. Was that the name of it?
It was something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah. So I'm into kind of the modern Duke one, which is very interesting. When Coach K decided to go to the one and dones, and it was, you know, Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum and all these, you know, Brandon Ingram, and they were loaded with NBA players you know, kind of in the last 15 years. When they started going to the one and dones, I think that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had.
Coach K's last dance.
That'd be good. But I think when the number one thing about a sports documentary is it has to have like a great ending. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about the Michael Block, obviously his story.
Yeah.
And That would be more of a biopic, though.
It seems like a movie.
That's a movie.
Yeah.
Documentaries are going to be different, but there are some biopics that I would love to see, right? Because the biopic game is going to be, I want to see the Venus Williams biopic. The documentary may not do it enough because the biopic is kind of like having it played out, which she already had sort of with
King Richard. Yeah. But that was more about
the family.
Richard Williams and the family.
Yeah, but it's still kind of.
But it wasn't Serena-focused.
Like the Tiger Woods.
No, that one.
That is the one that.
Ooh, a biopic on Tiger Woods.
The biopic is going to be, because we saw a bit of it, the Tiger, remember, on HBO again. Yeah. We saw that one. That was fantastic, by the way.
That was nuts. What, Michael B. Jordan slims down and learns golf?
You think so?
To play Tiger
Woods?
To
be a biopic.
Yeah, to play Tiger Woods.
To play Tiger Woods.
Looks nothing like Tiger Woods.
If you put the hat on. He may be too swole, though. But Tiger Woods kind of swole, though.
That's what I mean.
Tiger is kind of buff.
Well, you got the early Tiger days when he was kind of a stick figure, and then he did all the Navy SEAL stuff and got kind of super jacked.
He had like the
Come on, we can put the
Steve Harvey slacks
we
on
can
out
put
there.
Michael B in a black hat and a red shirt.
We got to find
fist
it.
Pumping out there would be great.
The biopic, though. I need that. So this thing, I'm glad. I was going down this rabbit hole yesterday, man. I'm like, man. Difference between the documentaries and the biopics, because the documentary I want to see from the beginning to end, like that era of Florida football and Miami football, like you know how it starts, how it ends. But I think the USC one as well, like because I lived that one, so I want to see it kind of retold from 02, like right when Carson Palmer
left.
And then all the way up until
Reggie and Matt Leinart,
and I think the year after that they leave, and then that was it. How they were the coolest thing ever.
Yep. Let me tell you, if you
slice bread,
if you lived in L.A. at that time, like I said, we didn't have a pro team.
No
like,
pro team.
You were
here.
Trojans, man, that was
they were the stars.
They were the professional team. They were the stars around here, man.
When you can get Snoop and Will Ferrell on the sidelines for your games,
it was the place to be.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, then I want to follow up on something you said about happy endings, and I want to follow up. Stories that have happy endings.
I perked up.
Stories that have happy endings, you idiots.
I know. I am an idiot.
It's going the wrong that path. I'm losing up the ready children that were conceived during these Tokyo Olympics.
Right.
Just to see, you know, what kind of super athletes may have been, you know, created during that time.
Kind of similar to people were talking about how many children over the next 15 years will have the name Nikola in Denver, right?
You know, it's going to be a good football doc in probably 20 years?
Yes.
This Chiefs era that's happening right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because...
Is it really?
Patrick Mahomes.
You just don't really see an end of this every time.
Yeah, you don't
want to see. The behind-the-scenes stuff.
Andy Reid. We're good.
The Chiefs one's going to be pretty good.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I was watching something today, and the question was, are the Chiefs a dynasty yet? And I'm thinking, yeah.
Three makes a dynasty, yeah.
What, three Super Bowls in the last, three out of the last five?
I think three makes a dynasty, but more importantly.
Three wins.
Three Super Bowl wins. They're still going to be going. I feel like there's some other dynasties within there, right? Mm-hmm. Have the Patriots ever done 18-1 yet?
No.
They haven't done that one.
No, they need that.
They do need that. 18-1.
That's an interesting one.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. That's a great one.
That'd be a good
one. Well, I know the NFL Films has done that Missing Rings documentary, which is really cool about different teams that missed out on Super Bowls, like the Vikings, the 98 Vikings.
98 Vikings, that's tough. Know,
teams like that.
Randy Moss has been around some stuff. Man. Missed that one, too. All right, we got to get to break.
That's good.
That was interesting.
That was interesting. That was fun. We can keep on going. And more of the Rich Eisen Show. Coming up next, racking things up.
Inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and like get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
You said how Aaron Paul, you were thinking of killing off his character by the end of season one.
The original idea was, you know, you always got to come up with a great season ender. You want a cliffhanger of an episode to keep folks watching next year. And my thought early on, before I even met Aaron, before we cast Aaron, was to have this young guy, former student of Walter White, played by Bryan Cranston, give Walt his entree into the business, sort of show him the ropes of criminality. And then at the end of that first season, that character, Jesse Pinkman, would get horribly killed in some very cinematic, graphic way that I never quite nailed down. But he would be murdered by some rival drug dealers, and Walt would feel very guilty, and then he would seek revenge, and that would propel us into season two. Then I meet Aaron Paul, and I cast this young guy, and he's fantastic in the role. And he's such a sweet guy to boot. He's just a wonderful guy that I think we're probably shooting the second episode. And I was hanging out on the set with him, you know, sitting in those chairs near the monitors, and I just make a conversation. I say, you know, I was going to kill you off. That was the original plan. He goes, what? He gets all like nervous. He goes, what are you talking about? No, this is a good thing. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I tell him the story I just told you, but he's not hearing the compliment contained within. He's just thinking, oh my God, I might get killed off. And I told this story to Bryan Cranston. I think he wandered by as he's hearing the tail end of this. And he was relentless for the next 6 years. He'd get, every time he got a script for a new episode before Aaron did, he'd look through it and he'd read it. And then he'd go up to Aaron, he'd say, buddy, and start massaging his shoulders. It was this next one. It's, at least you're gonna go out with a bang.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich, having a great time as always, starting the week off right. A lot of kids coming into their last days of school. You see all the graduation parties and graduation ceremonies and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was kind of just thinking about, we were talking about it right before the show, right before the break. Just like that last day of school. Before you get ready for summer, and you're like all excited, and you get ready.
School's out,
and you almost would get in trouble, but you couldn't get in trouble, but then you get in trouble, and
because you didn't care anymore.
You didn't care anymore.
The sands were almost down to the hourglass. You were done.
So I got a lot of that going on in the Morrison household right now as I get ready, as I'm like, oh my God. But, you know, upcoming, this is a week in which I'll be watching a little Stanley Cup tonight, getting caught up on some documentaries, some movies I've been trying to get caught up on, because at night, unless you're watching baseball, it ain't really much. It ain't much out there. A lot of shows are going into the repeats, right? Remember they repeat the season over and let you watch that. So I've been getting caught up. Don't tell me about Succession. I'm going to join the Succession bandwagon.
You haven't watched any of it?
I haven't watched any of it.
Wow, that's
so
awesome.
That's great. So it's like, really? I have all these great really things great. Ahead of me, and people are like, oh my God, you're going to love this, you're going to love that. I'm like, all right, cool. Don't ruin it for me. Don't ruin Ted Lasso for me.
You
I still
watched
got
that
it.
Either?
I'm
Ted Lasso either.
I've watched the first two episodes, so I've got
of
the
this last season.
Last season, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, no, I've seen all the Teds.
Oh, so you've seen, okay.
I've seen them, but just, it's hard for me in the off season to just sit back and just watch it.
Sure.
And it's one of those things too where, like, I'm one of those watchers of sports or movies. I like to do it sometimes alone. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I watched it with my mom because she was in town, but I have to watch it alone because I'm not stopping, I'm not rewinding, and I'm not telling people what I miss, what I know. Once I start, it is start to stop. Like, that's it. It will not be rewinded. No. I'm watching, listening, and I don't want to. So I'm kind of like analyzing, like I'm watching film, mm-hmm. like I was a football player, like always. But that's what that's kind of what my week is going to look like as we start to get down to that the nitty gritty where summer is about to hit, and now it's go time. Mm-hmm.
What do we got for summer vacations? What are the big plans with the kids?
Ooh, summer vacation. My son went to Legoland last weekend.
Nice.
Legoland is pretty cool. I like Legoland. But he's into, like, can we go to Japan? I'm like, why? Because they have a Legoland.
Wait, how old is he again?
He just turned 9. So he
wants to go to Japan.
Just a quick weekend trip to Japan.
Can we go to Denmark? I'm like, why? Because they got a Legoland here.
Wow. Okay. Like, my man loves Lego.
Yeah. Right. Can we go to the one in Orlando? Like, can we go to the one in New York? I was like, do you know these places aren't a 2-hour drive away, right?
Well, I mean, New York
thinks like everything is like
in Japan.
And I'm like, so why do we want to do that? You know what I mean? Like, oh, can we go to the one in New York? And so I'm trying to, we may put together a little trip to New York because he wants to see some of the monuments. I think that's all right, because it's that time in school where they're seeing all of the monuments and learning about the history and things like that. Like, Statue of Liberty.
Empire State Building.
And there's things that I haven't done yet. So I'm like, let's start small first. Let's look at Los Angeles history. Yeah, let's go to the Getty. Let's go
There's a lot you can go here.
The Peterson, the coast, tar pits.
Maybe hike the Hollywood sign or something. Oh, you know what I mean? Cool. That's a good one. So I'm trying to do some things locally before we start to go off because 4th of July will be here. Before you know it, and then
when is the Beyonce concert?
Right after 4th of July, baby.
Yeah, there we go.
I can't wait, man. That's gonna be fun. That's a honeymoon, not honeymoon, an anniversary trip.
Yeah. Right.
So me and my wife will go do that in Toronto. Nice. I feel like this is like my first international concert, and it's not like international. It's like I'm just
going to Canada.
It's a passport
concert.
Still
need your passport.
Still need my passport.
Right.
So it's my first one. So for people out there, give me the hints. What do I need to do? Because I want to have fun. Because I want to do this a little more often. Because I'm seeing like all the pictures, and people are going to Paris to go see some of the concerts instead of seeing them here. We'll see. I mean, obviously, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers go to like Taylor Swift concerts back to back nights in New York. So yeah, this is my first international concert. Looking forward to it, man.
International man of mystery, right there.
I guess if you want to call it that, it's just like, hey, you look at the prices there, or look at the price of going to SoFi on Labor Day weekend.
It was cheaper to fly to Toronto.
Man, I like you, SoFi, but I don't like you that much, man, at all. Man, this has been Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. Catch you guys all tomorrow. Later.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.